Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast number 18, Maggie Kusin. Maggie's been a longtime seller that has brought 16 products to market. And I think that, you know, her style will really impress you. Her even temperament, and she's learned that being a 911 operator overnight. So imagine some of the stories that she gets outside of Chicago. So in this segment, we're going to take you through how she got started, first on eBay, going to auctions and estate sales with her mom and her grandmother, and eventually got onto Amazon. And I just think it's a really interesting story that a lot of people can relate to. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And today, I'm really excited to be talking to a longtime seller. And that doesn't mean she's old, but long time, and I'm really encouraged about that. That sells on eBay and sells on Amazon, but she has brought quite a few products to market, her own products to market. And I think that that is a really interesting part of her story. She's partners in a business with someone else. And, you know, she is part-time employed somewhere else, was full-time, and I want to hear about that transition too. So I think you're really going to enjoy speaking with Maggie Kusin. Hey, welcome, Maggie.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I really appreciate this. So you're located outside of Chicago?
Yeah, just north of Chicago, almost all the way to Wisconsin.
I was going to say, that's almost Canada. Once you get up to above Chicago, that's Canada to me.
Yeah.
We might as well be.
The winters are bad enough. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I did an interview with Mark Levine. He's right up there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
From Bubble Fest. Yeah,
yeah, just a couple towns over. He's a great guy.
Great. Really great guy. Yeah. Really, his story will be out before this, and his story blew me away. I did not know his story, and it just blew me away. And I hope if you haven't, you haven't listened to it because it didn't come out yet. But when you do, you'll be like, wow. I mean, it's really impressive. What a terrific group of people.
That'd be great. Looking forward to that.
But we're here to talk about you. And so let's talk a little bit about where Maggie comes from and how you got into selling.
Yeah, sure. Boy, that's a good question. Generally, I started selling on eBay in 2000. Just very casually, you know, I really liked the idea of eBay. I still remember the day I was watching the Today Show and they talked to the CEO and I'm like, wow, that is really cool. So I checked it out, you know, bought a couple things. And then 2 years later, I started selling a little bit too. I've always been a little bit of a entrepreneurial minded, I guess. My mom still talks about when I was probably 4 or 5, she took me to a auction and she's like, I looked over at the table and there you were kind of looking over everything, appraising it all, deciding what, you know, appealed to you. She's like, that stuck with me to this day. And I knew that you were going to be something like this. So it's been with me, I think, since I was a kid and always wanted to work for myself and just kind of do things, you know, new and different. So about 3 years ago, I started looking at doing this seriously. Like you said, I was employed overnights as a 911 dispatcher for a fire department. And, you know, it was kind of slow sometimes at night and their only thing was you can't sleep. So that's not a problem. I figured there's got to be a way for me to monetize this time. So I started looking at, you know, selling at that time on eBay seriously. You know, I found a book called eBay Millionaire by Neil Waterhouse, read that and I'm like, I can do this. You know, it's all about importing from China and Alibaba. So I took that, ran with it. And as I started to do more research, I kept seeing Amazon FBA, FBA. So I'm like, all right, I'll try that too. And that's all she wrote. I still sell on both platforms. But Amazon is the main thing for me right now.
You know, you went to an auction when you were younger with your mom. So was she into antiques or something? Was there something that piqued her interest that would cause her to go to an auction?
Yeah, she really does like antiques. And my grandma is the same way. She still goes to auctions and likes to buy trinkets and stuff like that. We wonder what we're going to do with all that stuff, though, when she passes away. But, you know, I think it, you know, I couldn't have avoided it, I think, even if I wanted to. But yeah, they're both into antiques. you know, I've grown up with antiques around me since I was a kid. So, yeah, I think that's why we were there.
And you had mentioned to me offline a little bit that that's really what you're selling on eBay, that kind of thing. Stuff that, is it stuff that catches your eye or stuff that you bought and you got to get rid of because you're still sitting on it?
Yeah, it's, so I'm really near Chicago, and anybody that's from our area, there's a couple of affluent suburbs on the north shore of Chicago. I've networked and created some relationships with a couple of ladies who do estate cleanouts for elderly people. Either they pass away or they move into a nursing home or managed care, something like that. And they liquidate their estate, what's left in the house, and make it ready for resale. So a lot of times they'll have a ton of stuff and they'll be like, Maggie, I got stuff for you. And they'll, you know, place a price on the whole lot and, you know, I'll just pay them and then go through it. They leave plenty of meat on the bone for me so that it's not, you know, I haven't lost money on anything. But I'm also not making a ton of profit off of it either, you know, where it's, where I'm cheating anybody or anything like that. So I have got a lot of inventory from them that I still need to liquidate. And that's the majority of my sales on eBay, along with some returns that I've had from Amazon that were, you know, unsuitable for my inventory for whatever reason. And, but they're fine once you get them returned to you. I'm sure we've all had that happen.
Oh, yeah. when you can't even get rid of them on eBay just because of the volume, and now they go to auction. That's what I do with them. I just put them on a local auction. So you're not actively buying eBay-related stuff today. I mean, if it comes your way, it comes your way, but that's not your plan. Your plan is FBA all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I really like, and like you said, we had talked offline about, you know, the shipping pain in the butt for the eBay. You know, you've got to keep the inventory at your house, and you've got to actually ship it out. The great thing about FBA and the thing that got me hooked was I don't have to keep any of it at my house. I live by myself, which is fine. And I do have plenty of room, but it's just, I don't like the clutter. And, to me, that's kind of what it feels like, even though if you were to walk through the house, you'd say it's not, but it does bother me. But that's what I really like about FBA. I ship it to their fulfillment centers and I'm done.
Yeah, I love it too. I just think it's that, you know, that extra set of helping hands. It's truly the outsourced service. I know a lot of other companies are doing a lot of pieces of it, but they really do quite a bit of it for you. Mm-hmm. Now, are you shipping all around the country, or do you ship generally to one or two warehouses?
It seems like generally three or four, and I think we've all kind of seen how they've done some shuffling of the fulfillment centers lately. But yeah, I read about the premium placement and all that stuff. I don't participate in that. My private label products, though, those are case packed. So those generally go to the Kentucky warehouse. So that's, I would say, my main one. But I, you know, doing some retail and online arbitrage, those kind of go to three or four different warehouses.
Okay. And so now we use inventory placement, not a premium inventory placement, mm-hmm. just general. And I think we pay 35 cents an item for individuals. But, you know, for me, that was another step. That was another set of hands that we could eliminate, right? Mm-hmm. And so we send maybe 20 minutes north of where we live, 30 minutes north of where we live. Most of our stuff goes there, and then it ships. So the negative is it's a longer lead time, mm-hmm. right, because it's got to go from there to another center. But it's better than hiring somebody else and having them touch everything. So now and we'll talk about your private label, but are you using any of the packaging prep services yet?
I did for a while. I used Holly Soda's service in California. That was when I was doing a lot of Amazon flips and online flips. It was great with full-time job at that time. It was very hands-off, like you said. You know, she'd tell me when things came in, I'd create the shipment and she'd send it out for me. It was great. But since, like you said, I've kind of moved more towards a private label, I don't do so much of that anymore. On the off chance I do have some online arbitrage, I just have it shipped to the house here.
Now, and we'll jump into real detail about private label, but sure. I just want to finish this thought on the processing side. Are you having any of the private label put your barcode on for you? Or are you placing your own barcode on them?
Are you talking about the Amazon label or the UPC?
Well, if they're case pack, I guess you could just, tell me, yeah. Tell me what you do. Cause yeah. There's two different ways you can go.
Sure. Yeah. One of my products, when I first had it done, I did have the UPC printed on it. And then I realized, well, I'm really only selling them on Amazon. So I had them printed without it. I figured I could use the space on the front label, for more product details. So that's what I did. And then I put the Amazon sticker on the back. That's the only prep I have to do.
Okay, and you haven't had the manufacturer put the labels on you. It just hasn't been cost effective enough to make it really worth your time.
Yeah, and I kind of like to. I don't want to send them all in at once. And like you're saying, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, something to look at further down the road. But yeah, as of now, no.
Well, you've taken, I always say everybody should have a touch point map, right? Every time they touch a product or, deal with the product, they should have a place to touch. You've really blanked out a whole bunch of them already. So you don't have that many left. It's really impressive.
Oh, thanks.
So let's, what I want to do is let's go to break. And when we come back, I want to start talking about private label because you really got a good friend of mine started in private label and it's grown exponentially. So let's take a break and then we're going to come back and talk about that.
Sounds great.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right, before we jump back in the podcast, it's just so exciting talking with Maggie. In this segment, we're going to talk a lot about private label. She's brought 16 products to market. Over 70% of her sales are private label. She's clearly moving out of the eBay mode into this online world of private label and really familiar with it. It just really helps, will help you understand it. She does offer coaching at MaggieKusin.com. I have links on the website, so consider that if you really want somebody who's going to hold your hand and take and talk to you one-on-one, I think that might be the right approach for you. But the best thing that she talks about, and it really opened my eye, I'd never thought about it, maybe it's because I'm a man, but she talked about mom co-op groups and what they can do for your business and what they've done for her business. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Maggie Kusin, and Maggie is a longtime seller. Again, not old, but a longtime seller with a lot of experience, and I just love the fact that you still dip your toe in eBay because, I'm so worried about this becoming a job. I have a job. I don't want another job, and I want to make sure that I still enjoy it. And so when we dip back into eBay for us, it's something that we know quite a bit about or we learn a lot about. And so it breaks up some of the monotony of some of the Amazon stuff. But you've really taken – I know you were you mentioned retail arb and online arb, but that's really just a piece of your business. What percentage would you say of your business now is private label?
I would say, 70%.
So 70%. How many products have you ever estimated? How many products you brought to market? How many SKUs? So that way, if it's small, medium, and large, we can count it that way as three separate.
Yeah. Right now, I've got 16 SKUs.
Okay. So you brought 16 products. Is that, and all 16 are still active?
Some of them are. Some of them are not. I would say most of them are active. I would say at least 15 are still active. Yes.
And the way I understand it, the way Andy has explained it to me, is that there's a life cycle of a product in private label, right?
Yeah.
It starts and it grows and it grows, and eventually it starts to fade or it gets diluted in that. So you've had some of that. You've experienced that in your 3.5 years.
Yes, I have. And Andy and I differ a lot with that. He doesn't mind competition. He will take on a ton of competition, which I admire him for that. I just prefer not to. I look at products with a little less competition, and I'm confident being in the middle of the pack, rank wise. To me, that draws less attention to my product, and I'm still selling at a steady rate. I'm good with that. So I prefer the less competition. And Andy is not intimidated by any kind of competition.
Well, you know, let's talk about how you met Andy, because you and I were in this group, and so was Andy, and it was Jay Bain's it was some kind of bolo swap club or something crazy like that. You and I swapped an item. I don't know if you remember. I looked back at our notes, and I saw in our conversation on Facebook it was some injector kit or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Something, and I don't know what I had.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Andy tells that story. He's told that story. So why don't you tell it from your perspective, because it's a great story.
Yeah, it cracks me up. Talk about the stars aligning. Who knew? But, yeah, we were both in the – it's a Scanner Monkey Bolo exchange. And we were in there, and – I had a product that, due to my work schedule, I couldn't keep it in stock. You know, I would get it from my manufacturer in Alibaba, have it shipped to my house. You know, due to my schedule, at the time I was working a part-time, two part-time and a full-time job. So sometimes time was at a premium. So I would have it sit out for, you know, a week or two before I could prep it and ship it in. So I thought, you know, this is, as soon as I ship it in, they're selling. So there's got to be, somebody else should be able to take advantage of this product because I can't keep it in stock and someone should benefit from it. So I stuck it up on the Bolo exchange, and Andy bit at it. He said, all right, I've never ordered from Alibaba before. So, but, you know, what do you have? So I told him. And he's like, I don't know. He's really hesitant. And, you know, he'd heard horror stories and, you know, very hesitant. But I'm like, you know what? You can do it. Trust me. I've ordered from these guys, you know, multiple times in the past. They've never taken advantage of me. In fact, I've developed a really good relationship with them. So he went ahead and took the plunge. And, man, he ran with it. And now you see where he is now. But, yeah, I knew at that time that, really, nobody could really give me anything that would compare to that product and the velocity and all that. And, you know, and it's a replenishable product, which we all know that's hard to find. But, you know, these manufacturers were great, very supportive every time. So I knew that person, whoever got the Bolo, was not going to really be able to, you know, offer me anything like it, but that I was okay with that because I thought somebody else should be able to benefit from this. And I tell you what, it couldn't have been a better experience for Andy to be that person that, you know, randomly responded. I look back on that and you know, I'm not a religious person. I am a spiritual person, but you just think things happen for a reason. And, yeah, I look back on that and think that was no random thing there.
No, I agree. You know, and let's just pull back it for a second. And we're talking about Andy Slammons, if you haven't figured that out. I don't know if I mentioned his name specifically, but it's Andy Slammons. And it's really – it's kind of a common theme that I'm finding as I interview successful sellers. They give and give and give. And you didn't go into it. You had the right spirit about it. You didn't go into it expecting a lot, expecting, you know, oh, you should hold me up in a chariot and carry me around. You went into it with the right heart. And look at the rewards that have come from it. Okay, so you have a group that you part owner of with Andy, where you have a massive course with incredible amount of success, and you're getting ready to launch the third version of that. Mm-hmm. And it's brought you tremendous success, right?
Yeah.
And money. I mean, let's face it. And you've really embraced it. And you know, I still say this is I'm in that group, and it blows me away the amount of comments that you and Andy, you guys don't do anything but sit next to your phone or your computer, because you're always responding to every single question in a genuine, non-condescending way. I don't think I've seen that in any other group. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's what we pride ourselves on. You know, Andy and I are a lot alike in that way. You know, we just want to help people out and see that this can be a way, you know, to do business and do it long term. You know, who knows how things are going to change and, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, but it feels more like a business bringing these products in, and being able to help people do that is, you know, just, it's a great feeling. And that's what we wanted people to understand, that our class was different than other people's, you know. We want to see you succeed. In fact, it makes us feel spectacular when our class members succeed. It's a great feeling. It's incredibly inspirational. And even if there were no money involved, it's really cool to watch that happen and very fulfilling.
And it really is. And it is the truth. I mean, I'm sitting here and, you know, I've done private label deals. You're familiar that Andy and I have done some, mm-hmm. but I've done his. And I'm just blown away every single time that almost, you know, year and change later, the same people, the same level of question answering, the same level of handling, you know, helping people all the way through and pulling them through and going back and fine tuning the process all along the way. It's just really, really says something. I think if you're interested in private label, this is the group to join. And I don't benefit in any possible way, so I'm saying that right now, but it's the truth. It's just, if you think that you're going to have a lot of questions, you're going to need a lot of help, this is the group to join. So, yeah. You have a course coming up in September,
yeah,
right?
You have
the third version of it, and I'm assuming the third version is way different than the first version, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've rewind a little bit. Yeah, we do pride ourselves a lot on that personalized attention. You know, we're more handholders than other people. There are members of our class who have both Andy and I's cell phone numbers. You know, we get texts, we get private messages all the time. We also offer to, you know, help people evaluate product if they're not sure. But yeah, getting to your question, yeah, this third version is, we've taken the information from the first version, we've tweaked it, we've made it better, and then through the webinars, any new members will have access to all the webinars that have been done since the very beginning. So you'll be able to see tons of interviews, tons of instructional videos that we've put together on the fly, because we do like to meet demand. So if we notice that members are having questions about specific things, we'll make a video about it. If it's something that's better shown on a screen share, we'll create that. Andy creates short videos all the time. I did a couple on patent researching, which a lot of people are scared about, and rightfully so. We've just met demand as things come up and topics are discussed, and we want to meet that demand as things grow and new topics come up.
Well, you know, and I'm looking at the group right now, and I'm looking at some of the examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the forms, the documents that are out here, custom printed labels, suppliers list, mm-hmm. super URL building, QC and inspection service, freight forwarders, all these things come up, and
yeah.
I remember it. I mean, they really do come up, and having a resource that you could just go to and say, hey, let me see, somebody's dealt with this before. Freight forwarding is a big deal,
yep,
right? There's
just
so many examples, insurance questions. I'm seeing, you know, as you say, trademark, and it's just amazing to me. I'm couple pages down and it's still even WordPress to help. I mean, man, oh man, you guys are really good. But it's just so impressive that you guys have taken that much time.
Oh, thanks.
And I just really think that that's a big deal. And I hope if anybody's thinking about it, and I know this is true, they've taken some really much more expensive course, because this really isn't a lot of money. I've
yeah.
heard of people, you know, with a zero on the end of your course fee. I've heard of those courses.
Sure.
And it's just, they still haven't moved forward.
Yeah.
They learn stuff, and don't get me wrong, because those things tell you stuff too,
mm-hmm.
but they just haven't been able to move forward and take action. This smaller group in a smaller setting where it's much more hands-on might be the way, might be the tool you need to move forward. So,
yeah, totally agree. And something else about those zero courses you're talking about that people don't think about, I had somebody that was considering both of our courses, ours and the one with the zeros. And, I talked to her a little bit about, you know, our course and what we offered, and she ended up deciding to go with the zero course. And I heard from her about a month ago or so, and she's like, oh, I wish I'd gone with your course. You know, the zero course costs so much, I didn't have any funds to actually do my product. And I didn't even think about that. You know, people have so much money set aside for private label, and you sign up for a course that's a huge chunk of money, then that doesn't leave you so much for your product launch and choosing a product and purchasing it. So I didn't think about that until she pointed it out, and I was like, oh boy, yeah, that's that's a tough one. But yes, we do more handholding, and you know, we'll walk you through the process, and you know, we have no qualms about answering private messages. I get text messages from class members all the time, and we're just a really personal community, and I think you see that too in all the discussions that we have. We're really proud of the community that's been built, and we look forward to adding even more content and value to that.
That's really exciting. You know, you both have different skill sets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Evanny is so outgoing. You know, he is the life of the room, the light in the room, not the life, the light. I mean, whatever room we go into.
Yeah.
What do you think your biggest strengths that you bring to the to your group, or just even as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that's boy, I think we're a lot alike, Andy and I. He is, like you said, he is the man in the room. You know what I mean? The light, like you're saying. I think mine is, and I'm not saying that Andy is not, I think patient. I have an extremely good work ethic, just like Andy does. My background is actually in teaching. That's what my college degree is music education. And I think that kind of shines through a little bit in this class and in the entrepreneurship. I think my ability to break down what seems like insurmountable, you know, things down to achievable steps and parts.
I like that. I want to stay there right
yeah.
now. So your ability to break down what seems to be insurmountable into really bite-sized pieces, right? Just steps.
Right.
And, I mean, that's just such a big deal for people. I just love it. I mean, that's a really good skill set. I could see it being so useful, especially in the projects that you're talking about, where you're taking and literally bringing a product to market, which, you know, I mean, it's different than going over to Target and picking up a bag of diapers
right.
and then, you know, putting a label on them and sending them in.
Right.
This is, you know, there's a lot of steps, I mean, when you really think about it.
Yeah.
So those are really strong skills. What do you think, though? You know, what are you working on improving? What's a weakness that you have? Or maybe you're not working on improving. You just recognize it as a weakness and you give it to your partner to handle that. What is that?
It's got to be my time availability and my time management. You know, we had talked a little bit about it before. You know, up until 2 months ago, I was full-time employed with 2 part-time jobs and trying to do all this stuff on the side. It was extremely difficult. But you know, I'm working on it. I'm trying to structure it a little bit more so that I, you know, have defined goals during the day so that I can get things accomplished. I'm still employed part-time at 2 different agencies, but probably still putting in too many hours. But that also gets to my other weakness, which is my inability to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I like to help people out and, you know, when someone calls me up and says, "Hey, this is going on. Can you help out?" Okay. You know, against my better judgment. In fact, I did it this afternoon. And I kicked myself afterwards. I'm like, you know, I just identified it as one of my weaknesses and I just did it again. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, in an effort to try to do that, I really am trying to liquidate that eBay inventory that we talked about. I enjoy doing that, but I don't think that it's the best use of my time. I think eBay will continue to still be a part of what I do probably forever. But I don't want to have it be something hanging over my head. So I need to get that under control. And then, I think that'll help out with my time management and availability. And that also does tie into my inability to say no, because those ladies call me and I know they need my help and I say, okay. So,
well, I might have a contact for you where you might be able to, I know someone that you might want to meet.
Okay.
Anyway, so you have, I think the big deal here, though, is you recognize it, right? And so you're saying, hey, I'm putting a plan in motion to phase that piece of me out because, It is a burden. I mean, I think about all the stuff that we don't have listed. It weighs on me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm assuming that's what – it just stays with you because you're like, oh, I should do that. So you're constantly thinking about it while the rest of this stuff is just flowing and everything's rocking and rolling.
Exactly.
This piece is a piece that you haven't been able to handle. And I see a lot of people talking about that, and it's easy to buy stuff for eBay. You know,
yeah.
It really is. It's just everywhere. I mean, you can go there's, I think, 3 or 4 antique stores in my town. I could go in every single one of them, in every booth, and pick up a ton of stuff to make money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then again, I could walk 10 feet in my warehouse and say, I could just take that pile and get rid of it. You know, so
yeah.
So I think that there's some, you know, at least you recognize it. And the time management thing, I mean, I think it's there are some tools out there. That, you know, my son uses BeeMinder, for example, mm-hmm. and he sets his goal to do X number of listings on eBay.
Okay.
And if he doesn't, he actually gets penalized financially.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, my God, that's just awful.
Yeah.
That would weigh on me more than it. Even if it's a dollar, it would bother me,
yeah,
right? But that's for him. That's his, what he uses as his motivation, and it keeps it top of mind. So he hits his goal, and he feels like – he said, when I push that button that I hit my goal and I hit a little early, it is the most rewarding feeling. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? It's working for you. That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. So. Good for him. Figured out what would penalize him and hurt him. So, yeah, give him kudos.
It sounds like to me, though, that you didn't have a fear of going into this business because you really took your time, right?
Yeah.
You said 3.5 years you started really starting to sell seriously.
Yeah.
But in the last 3.5 years, you were full-time and a half, in essence, in other jobs, you know, taking care of your financial needs.
Yeah.
I think that's just another smart move. Some people say, hey, just cut the, you know, burn the ships. I heard somebody saying that today. Just burn the ships and go all in. Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's tough, man. You know, that was one of the hardest things, you know, deciding to leave full-time job is, like you said, you know, you're leaving behind a consistent income and benefits, and it's scary. And still to this day, I mean, I'm part-time employed at two of them, so I haven't fully put it behind me, but again, that's more of the trying to help people out than a monetary gain. But, you know, I asked myself, and of course, my mom, the one who I did the auctioning with when I was a kid, says, you know, Maggie, you've always wanted to do this. And if not now, then when? And I'm like, gosh, she nailed it. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Did you set some goals that you, you know, some financial goals, some time goals, some process goals that, you know, you wanted to strike before that, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to go as long as this is done and this is done?
I wish I could say it was that structured, but no, I didn't.
Okay.
There were a number of conferences and such that I wanted to attend. And, you know, the essence of 911 dispatch, it's a 24/7 operation, and it has to be staffed at all times. So the ability to get time off was severely hampered. Even to leave town on my days off was not looked upon favorably. And, you know, I felt like I was getting cut down, you know, at the knees. And I thought, you know, even if I can get to a point financially where I can make things go on my part-time salaries, you know, the amount of freedom that I can get at that point is worth it, you know, and it has been. I mean, Ecom Chicago is coming up. I'll be presenting with Andy. I wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise. And at this point, I'll be able to schedule myself around those dates. Being able to spend time with my family, they're all in Indiana. This has provided the ability to do that, to go see them at least once a month, which wasn't the case before. So as far as, you know, passing a milestone to get to that point, there really wasn't one. But it became more and more clear to me that I was missing out on opportunities, that I could have been able to take advantage of. My full-time job wasn't allowing me to do that. So that was what the clincher was for me.
I love it. Ryan Grant, who I just interviewed, has spoken about the freedom. That's what he wanted more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, I need the money because you have to have the money to have the freedom. But he really wanted the flexibility and a young guy at his age that he wanted to be able to do that. And it's so encouraging to see young people saying that too, because, you know, you go to school, you get a job, and you're supposed to work there for 40 years and then retire and, you know, go home and watch, I guess, I don't know if Jerry Springer's still on or whatever, Oprah. I don't think she's on either. I guess I'm dating myself. But, I mean, that's different. And so you're saying, hey, I want to free up these segments of my life so I can still enjoy them, and I'm willing to, you know, it's a calculated risk, though.
Right.
I mean, at this point, you've been selling long enough, you have enough products in the pipeline, it's really just a calculation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I have a number of different skills that, worst case scenario, you know, I always try to think and prepare for worst case scenario. There are a number of things I could do. You know, I can teach private lessons from my home, private music lessons, tutoring. You know, I've started coaching and offering private label leads as well, on my own. And I mean, those are all things that worst case scenario, I could do more of. And, you know, I don't know. I've just always been somebody who finds opportunities when maybe there weren't any immediately available.
I love it.
Yeah.
What do they say? Opportunities where luck and preparation meet, right?
Yeah.
So opportunity and preparation meet. I guess that's the right way to say it. But think about it. You've been preparing this whole time, and it's just a great story. And it's really a cool thing. You still have your toe in the water. You still have a little bit of work out there, mm-hmm. and you're not ready to let go of that yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's great.
Well, I do enjoy it, besides the money part. You know, it is – I enjoy being challenged, you know, and there's something about, you know, going into work and not knowing what's going to happen one minute to the next. And to be mentally prepared for that, it's just, it's a challenge. And, you know, it's something that I do enjoy.
And I could see that skill transferring over to this business because, you know, how are you finding products, right? How are you doing? It's that, and then you bring it to market, you're not certain again, right?
Right.
You don't know how it's going to go. And so I can see some of those skills transferring over.
Yeah.
So you recommended a book earlier, eBay Millionaire by Neil Waterhouse.
Right.
Right. Any other books or podcasts that you think would be worthwhile for our listeners?
Yeah. You know, I think as entrepreneurs, we all probably realize that it's good to kind of have some variety. I do enjoy Side Hustle Nation, one of the podcasts that, you know, it looks at different ways to do things, different things in general. And the guy that teaches it and does the podcast, super nice guy, Nick Gloper.
Yeah.
The book I'm reading right now is 4-Hour Work Week, which is kind of opening my mind to a bunch of different things. And I'm only about halfway through it. So that's the scary part. One of the books that I can recommend, how should I put it? I like to kind of be in the know about leadership and that kind of thing. I've been a part of, a couple of organizations where the leadership was very poor, and you know, I just felt like, you know, this can be done better, and I want to try to learn about how it can be. And I read Entre Leadership by Dave Ramsey, the, you know, budget guy. So I'm sure Dwayne Malik is very familiar. you know, reading this book, I was like, this, you know, you don't need to treat people like crap, you know, to get them to do things. And it was just a great eye opener. And I think it also, as entrepreneurs, if we do end up employing people and how we treat people and interact, this addresses all of that too. You want to treat people well and fairly. And, sometimes it doesn't come to people naturally. And I think, you know, that this kind of coaches those people how to do that more naturally.
It's a great book. I've read them. Four-Hour Work Weekend, Entre Leadership.
Good.
And Entre Leadership, I think it also transfers over to how you treat your vendors.
Yes.
And so in our world, you know, everybody's like, oh, that Walmart manager, he should give me a deal. It doesn't work that way.
Huh.
It is a relationship. Or just even your Chinese vendors. I've dealt with a couple of them, or, you know, whichever continent. I guess most of them are still on that continent. But I mean, it's just when the way you deal with them, you know, there's a lesson in that book for that, too.
Yes.
I think there's some real value there.
I agree.
What great examples. Okay, so the goal, we're at the end of podcast, and one of the goals of the podcast is to help people move forward, and I think you've given some great examples on how people can move forward, right? A lot of tips and things, but give me a specific process improvement we can put in place tomorrow, no matter what size business we are. It could be a tip or trick, but something that tomorrow somebody could say, oh, I didn't even think about that. I can take and place that in my business and move forward.
Sure. So a couple of things. One general thing, that I figured out on my own was there are a ton of mom co-ops out there, and they have Facebook pages. If you get involved with those, it is like putting your finger on the heartbeat of what people are looking for. Sure, we can go into the stores, we can see stuff that's out, but these mommy co-ops, they do group buys and that kind of thing. They discuss popular things. All great things. In fact, I found a wholesaler through one of those mom co-ops, but there is no better way to see what kids are liking, what moms are looking for than that. I could possibly give you a link to that maybe later to get kind of started. There's like a large group and then smaller ones from there. But I think that's something that's overlooked, but a great resource. And then I know a lot of people are looking at private labeling. So this is more specific to that. If you're looking at private labeling and you just can't seem to get started with it, get over your fear. You know, find a few interesting products and reach out to some suppliers on Alibaba. Just if for no other reason than to get over that hurdle. By simply reaching out, you're seeing how easy it is. You'll get responses. You'll see how easy that is. It's simply an email exchange. And there's no commitments. You know, you're not saying immediately, well, I'm going to, you know, spend $500 on this. You're just getting over that hurdle and that fear of the unknown and kind of like a cold phone call. Nobody's comfortable with that, but that's kind of what this is. You'll get over it and get over that hurdle and hopefully give you a kick in the pants to get forward.
Both great suggestions. And the mom co-op thing is just what a great way to get your finger on the pulse. I just think that's such a good suggestion, really strong.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have an upcoming course. I alluded to it a little bit earlier. In September, you're launching the course again. This is version 3, and as I said to you earlier, I can't imagine that version 3 is even close to version 1. And version 1 was awesome.
Yeah.
And I know over time that you guys have just fine-tuned it and figured things out, and things have changed,
sure,
right? And so you guys are continually updating. Mm-hmm. And so the way we get in touch with that, all right, I'm going to say this, all right, it's slamazonprivatelabel.com.
That's right.
So slamazonprivatelabel.com, and I'll have the link right in the podcast here. Also, you have a Facebook group, but in order to get in that, you have to be to get through the website, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
And you're out on Facebook, and you're available for questions if people have any.
Yeah, yep, sure am.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. Probably see you at Ecom Chicago. I just really think that when people listen to this, they're going to say, wow, you know, maybe it's not so intimidating, and I should dip my toe into the water. And I just really appreciate you taking the time and explaining it so well for us.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. It was great speaking with you.
You have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.